Well, good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida. And you know, I'm so delighted to be with you on these Saturday mornings or whenever you're listening to this, on air, online, and in media ministry for over 30 years now. So thank you for sitting with me at the feet of the Lord to listen for His heart to touch our hearts. And if you've been with us this month, you know that our monthly series, this month's Portrait of God, because I see portraits of God throughout the Scripture, is called He is Our Ultimate Truth. And this is part four of the four weeks of study. So, yeah, we're doing 12 takeaways. We'll do 10, 11, and 12 today. But again, this is our journey in discovering the Lord as our ultimate truth. What an amazing portrait He's given us here. And if you have your Bibles, we're going to be over in Psalm 51, verse 6. I'll do a little recap here in a moment. But as you're making your way over to Psalm 51, just a quick reminder that all of these 27-minute broadcasts are archived on my website at markpg.org. Along with articles that I have written and training guides that I've written, videos, 3-minute videos on portraits of gods that I've also written, other resources, all of them designed to do one thing, help you hear God. So on that landing page, among those different boxes, just click the broadcasts box and then portraits of God on the next landing page and you're there. So I hope you'll take a peek at markpg.org. to go deeper into the heart of God. Well, as is our custom, as we get ready to hear the heart of God, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Lord, I absolutely love coming into Your presence. I love sitting at Your feet, gazing in Your eyes, and listening for Your voice with the spiritual ears of my heart. And that's my prayer for each of the brothers and sisters that are tuned in today. Oh, we want to hear from You today, Lord. So thank You for being a God who loves to speak, who loves to enter into conversation with His children all the time, anytime we like. So this morning, as we take a journey to finish up this series on this portrait of how You are our ultimate truth, oh, I pray You'll let us see You, hear You, and receive these truths, You as our ultimate truth, deep, deep, deep into our heart today. Thank You, Lord. We pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ, by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, if you're a note taker and you want to kind of review the notes that you've been taking, if you've been tuned in, or if you're just catching this for the first time, this will set the context of this journey through the Lord's love letters that describe Him as our ultimate truth. So here's the first nine, rather briefly, and then we'll cover the last three. But the Lord, our ultimate truth, He yearns for us to know 12 basic things. These are the ones I've done. And there are more than 12, of course, but these are just the ones that have been stirring my heart. Number one is that truth is embedded in Jesus Himself. So we saw that when Jesus said in John 14, I'm the way, I'm the truth. There it is. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father but through Me. Wow, we went through powerful stuff there. Number two is the Lord, our ultimate truth, yearns for us to know that truth leads us into God's presence. Truth leads us into God's presence. Psalm 43, verse 3, oh, send out Your light and Your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to Your holy hill and to Your dwelling places. This is where we discover the Bible is a tool, not an end. It's a tool to take us into the very presence of God, to see Him, to see His portraits, to see His heart. Number three, truth and grace are in the fullness of Christ. Truth and grace are in the fullness of Christ. John 1:14, the Word became flesh. dwelt among us. We saw his glory. Glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And this is where we started seeing how truth is paired up with different kinds of character qualities from the heart of God. So truth and grace are in the fullness of Christ. Number four, truth and kindness come as we abide in him. Truth and kindness come as we abide in him. Psalm 61:7, he will abide before God forever, appoint loving kindness and truth that they may preserve him. And then number five builds on that. Truth and kindness are to be kept deeply in heart. Truth and kindness are to be kept deeply in heart. Proverbs 3, verse 3. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Oh, bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Boy, we went deep places there. And then we went to number six, how the Lord, our ultimate truth, yearns for us to know that truth from God's word sets us free. Truth from God's word sets us free. John 8:31. If you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples or followers of mine, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. We'll know the truth from the scriptures that lead us to the ultimate truth of Jesus Christ, both meanings, both applications are what sets us free. Wow, that we go deep there. And then number seven, truth and compassion. Here's another pairing. Truth and compassion preserve us. Psalm 40, verse 11. You, O God, will not withhold your compassion from me. Your loving kindness and your truth will continually preserve me. Your loving kindness or your compassion and your truth will continually preserve me. It's not truth alone, my friend. Sometimes truth alone, shared harshly, critically, condescendingly, patronizingly, angrily, with frustration, well, that doesn't heal so much. It takes a lot of hard prayer and work to ignore the tones and try to get, if any truth that might be being verbalized. That's why the Lord wants us to learn how to speak with truth and compassion. Number eight, truth leads us to worship in spirit. Another combination here, John 4:24, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. It's a both and, not an either or. This is where we really looked into how there's this balance in the art of interpreting scriptures, which is called hermeneutics. There's the subjective pole and the objective pole, the mystical side, the academic side, the heart side, the mind side, spirit and the truth side. They're all intertwined. Delicate combination. Delicate calibration. Don't go to one pole or the other. It's a both and. Truth leads us to worship in spirit because we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Then number nine, truth by the Spirit will guide us. Truth by the Spirit will guide us. John 16:13, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. So truth by the Spirit will guide us. The wind blows where he wishes. It says over in the Gospel of John, over there in John 3:8, the wind blows where he wishes. And I love how it's described. You know, you can't see the wind, but you can sense where it is blowing, and it blows where it wishes. And that's how the Spirit, he blows where he wishes, and we sense it. We're going to talk more about that as we go along now, as we come to number 10 to finish up our series, 10, 11, and 12, in our series on He is Our Ultimate Truth. So here's number 10, how the ultimate truth, the Lord Jesus himself, yearns for us to know that truth gives us innermost wisdom. Truth gives us innermost wisdom. Now, this is key. It's not just head knowledge. No, the truth of Jesus and the truth who is Jesus wants to go much deeper than just the head wants us to have way more than just knowledge in the head. He wants us to have wisdom in our innermost being. Truth gives us innermost wisdom. Psalm 51:6 puts it this way. Behold, Lord, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Oh, how I love this passage. Let me give it to you again. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part, you will make me know wisdom. Oh, Lord, isn't that marvelous? The Lord yearns for you to receive his truth and his personhood into your innermost being because he is our ultimate truth. Now, I know this is getting deep. I know it's getting more to the mystical side of Christianity, which scares some people. You know, it's easier to say, let's just go by the book, you know, and go by the letter of the law and just, you know, and stay there and head knowledge and all. But, you know, that's what the Pharisees were doing and they were missing it. We talked about this earlier, that the spirit and truth is a combination. It's the subjective and objective, the mystical and academic, the heart and the mind, the spirit and truth, all working together. This is where the Lord wants us to hear his voice, to hear his heart, and to hear his truth in the innermost being. Now, what is our innermost being? Well, it's way more than the head, and it's way more than our emotions. It's something even deeper. So let me see if I can unpack this for us. One guy, I remember though, put it this way, you know, sometimes I just know in my knower, you know, how do you know God is speaking to you? How do you know that this is the application or the intention of this particular passage for you today, this hour, this week? I just know in my knower. Can't explain it, can't exactly describe it. I know in my knower. In the hidden part of my heart, in my innermost being. You know what I'm talking about. You've heard this before. Can this be abused? Yeah, somebody can just be so emotionally driven that any wind of emotion can convince them of something. I've done that before, to be honest. But as I grew older in the Lord and got to know the scripture better, got to know more the two-way dimension of prayer, became familiar more and more with the sound of the voice of the living God by his Spirit. This is why Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. What is he saying? Well, we kind of have to take a journey back to the days of the shepherds, even today, not just in yesteryear, because in many parts of the world, the way that shepherding is done is different than, say, herding cattle. You know, we might think about tending sheep and like herding sheep, and you have to kind of have dogs and horses and people and rally them up, come on, stay together and all that, and drive sheep. No, that's not how it's done, and that's not how shepherding is done in the biblical context, and even today in the biblical areas and throughout the world. It is shepherds who spend hours and days and weeks and months and years with a flock of sheep, and he talks to them or she talks to them constantly. And guess what? They get to know his or her voice. In fact, back in the old days, and I don't know if they still do it in that region of the world, but back when there were city pens, when shepherds would come from the fields with their flock to go in to get a Big Mac or something, eat together, whatever, they would just put all of the flocks mixed together in one big city pen. And then, after an hour or two or three, when the shepherds would start coming back, one shepherd would say, okay, guys, it's time to go. Come on, let's go. That's all we'd say, and he'd start walking down one direction, and from among the throng of mixed flocks, only his flock would come out and follow him or her. And then the next one would do the same. Okay, it's my time. Come on, guys. We're going. Just go the other direction, and only that flock would come out and follow that shepherd. Why? Because they've been hearing that voice day in, day out, for their entire life. They know their shepherd's voice and they follow. Well, that's us. How much time do you spend listening for the Father's voice, for your bridegroom's voice, for Jesus' voice, for your ultimate truth's voice, for the Spirit's voice? The more time you spend with God, the more time you spend in His Word, in prayer, in meditation, in quietness, in stillness, you learn that voice. You hear it with the ears of your innermost being, my friend. You know in your knower, in the hidden part. Now, here's the thing. It is true that we have blind spots. And it is true that sometimes the Lord has to speak through other persons to help us hear something. But even then, when somebody is speaking to you, they're making a suggestion, they're calling you out on something, in whatever way they happen to do it, deep, deep down, you know if it's the Lord actually speaking through them or not. You might react at first in denial or anger or fight back or whatever. Or you might be oblivious, arrogantly sure you got your act together, you don't need anybody. But it's just a matter of time when the Lord loves you enough to keep speaking and speaking and speaking, because we put ourselves in these prisons, self-imprisonment, by repressing things, not wanting to talk with them about stuff. But you hear the voice of God in your innermost being saying, son, we need to talk about this. Son, we need to talk about this. I'm not going to force it, but it's only going to get worse. You're bringing more and more damage into your heart, into your life, into those around you. The more you ignore this, you know we need to talk about this. I want you to know truth in your innermost being that I can set you free, because it is the truth that sets you free. Oh, listen for that whisper of the Spirit in your innermost being, because He is wanting to give you innermost wisdom. Number 10, truth gives us innermost wisdom. Wow. Number 11, truth in God's Word sanctifies us. This is a beautiful thing. I love this in John 17, verse 17. The Bible simply says this, sanctify them in truth. Your Word is truth. We're talking about the washing with the Word. In fact, there's an exhortation where husbands are to wash with the water of the Word their wives. They just spend time with their wives together, and together as they just swim in the Word of God and pray together, there's a washing, there's a cleansing that takes place. I hope you cultivate that, not just with your mate, but with your kids. And it doesn't have to be long portions of Scripture. It can be short, and you just share it and talk about it a little bit. Let it kind of resonate. Sanctify them. That means to set apart as holy. Isn't that a sweet thought? The Lord loves you so much that when you come to Him and you say, Lord, everything I have, all that I am, I give to You. I want to be saved. I know I'm a sinner. I want to be one with You. I want to be Your bride. I want to be Your son. I want to be Your daughter. The Scripture uses so many metaphors. But the fact is, when we come to the Lord and He sees our heart, He knows that we really want to become one with Him. And like a covenant, two people marrying is a covenant. Everything I have, all that I am, I give to You. And the other mate says, everything I have and all that I am, I give to You. When He sees we're really wanting to do that, He says yes. He becomes one with us. We're one with Him. And He sets us apart as holy. Now, there's that sense of instantaneous setting apart unto Himself, but then there's also that sense of progressive setting apart in our experience. This gets into the whole justification, sanctification thing. I won't go deeply into that, but I'll just simply say this. There is that sense that we have been saved once and for all when we come to Christ and marry Him, just like that day on your wedding if you're married. And you said, I do, and the other said, I do. You were married that day. But you're going to spend a lifetime growing into what it really means to be set apart as a holy couple, as a new oneness between two people. You spend a lifetime. We think we know what we're getting into when we get married. But those of us who have been down the road, I celebrate my 45th wedding anniversary and later this year, you actually become different people because of the impact you have on each other and the struggle you go through and coming out on the other side and in the Lord working it through. It's a marvelous thing, being set apart as holy, set apart as a new oneness. And so there's that progressive sense of sanctification, in addition to there being that instantaneous sense of sanctification, set apart as unto the Lord, and then set apart more experientially in a progressive way as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So this is, says that sanctify them in truth, the truth of the gospel, and your word in truth, the truth of Scripture, and that which the Lord teaches you by His Spirit in your innermost being, because the Bible tells us that it is sharper than any two-edged sword. By the way, I used to just, for years, I just reflexively thought, oh yeah, sharp as a sword, sharp as a sword. But that's not what it says. It's sharper than that. Sharper as a sword, it's almost like makes it an offensive weapon. But it's not a weapon. You know what? It's more like a scalpel. A scalpel is sharper than any two-edged sword. And what is the purpose of a scalpel? It's to do surgery in the innermost part of our being. Scalpel, a literal scalpel, slices into the depths of our body to do some surgical procedures and things that are going to bring about healing. And so it is the Lord uses a scalpel in a gentle way, in a skilled way, and proper conditions so that it will bring healing. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It sanctifies. It sets us apart unto healing. Now, I know none of us like to go into surgery. It's scary, but we also, and another part of us know, but we need to, and it's going to help us, and it's going to heal us. The truth of God's word sanctifies us, sets us apart as holy, brings about greater and greater healing in our innermost being. There's the washing with the water of the word. There's the washing with the word that is sharper than a sword, like a scalpel that does the healing work from the great physician from above. He goes deep into our souls. I love that. And that's the word of God, my friend. It does that. Now, as we wrap this up, let's go to number 12. Today, we've talked about how truth gives us innermost wisdom. That was number 10. 11, truth in God's word sanctifies us. And finally, number 12, truth shared in love makes us more Christ-like. Truth shared in love makes us more Christ-like. Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15 puts it this way, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ. You know, that is the Christian life. It's to let Him transform us by His blood. You hear that in my prayer often, how we're transformed by the saving work of Jesus Christ, by His grace, by His wisdom from above, by His truth, by His word, by His conversation, ongoing conversation with us. And the more time we spend with Him, the more we take on His fragrance, His aroma, His heart, His mindset, His worldview from above. Christ in us, us in Him. And the Lord is always speaking the truth to us in love, even when He's correcting us, even when He is disciplining us. It's done in love. Truth is spoken in real life, not held back. That's one of the hard things in relationships. Sometimes we hold back some things we really need to say and should say, but we're afraid to say it. We don't want to deal with a mess. We won't want to get into a fight. But truth spoken, speaking the truth, the Bible says, but in love, instead of critically or with accusation or with blame, that's our mistake. Sometimes we get so frustrated about something that's happened with another person. Yeah, we'll talk to them. We're going to speak the truth, but it's the truth as we perceive it. And we may share it in a way that's hurling blame, hurling accusation, finger pointing, anger, frustration, even cussing them out, you know, that type of thing. But that's not what we're to do. We don't beat people up with the truth. We share the truth in love. Why? Because that's how the Lord Jesus Christ does it. Man, while we were yet sinners, he died for us because he loved us that much. He loves us. What's the greatest commandment? Love the Lord thy God with all heart, soul, mind, and strength. And what's the second? He says it's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself, speaking the truth in love. Reflects the Christ-likeness that he's developing in us. Truth shared in love makes us more Christ-like. The more we hear it spoken in love to us, preached in love to us, taught in love to us, read in love, perceived through meditation in love, the more we grow into the Christ-likeness. God is love. He says, above all else, keep fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. Above all else, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Truth shared in love, truth with kindness, truth with grace, truth with compassion. We've been hearing this throughout the whole series. This is what puts us into the presence of the Lord himself more and more experientially, because he is our ultimate truth, my friend. Never lose sight of that. Jesus Christ is our ultimate truth. Well, Lord, we receive that today. Thank you for being our ultimate truth, drawing us into your presence, loving us with your whole heart. May we do likewise with you and others. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez, and I hope you'll check out my website at markpg.org. Till next time, fall in love with the Lord, your ultimate truth.